Grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Holy God, mighty and immortal, you are beyond our knowing, yet we see your glory in the face of Jesus Christ. Transform us into the likeness of your Son, who renewed our humanity so that we may share in his divinity, Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Please be seated. Would you like to carry the...
Moses came down from Mount Sinai. As he came down from the mountain with the two tablets of the covenant in his hand, Moses did not know that the skin of his face shone because he had been talking with God. When Aaron and all the Israelites saw Moses, the skin of his face was shining, and they were afraid to come near him. But Moses called to them, and Aaron and all the leaders of the congregation returned to him, and Moses spoke with them. Afterward, all the Israelites came near, and he gave them in commandment all that the Lord had spoken with him on Mount Sinai. When Moses had finished speaking with them, he put a veil on his face. But whenever Moses went in before the Lord to speak with him, he would take the veil off until he came out. And when he came out and told the Israelites what he had been commanded, the Israelites would see the face of Moses, and the skin of his face was shining. And Moses would put the veil on his face again until he went in to speak with him. Word of God, word of life.
Thanks be to God.
Let us pray Psalm 99 responsively. The Lord is King, let the people tremble. The Lord is enthroned upon the cherubim, let the earth shake.
The Lord praise.
Let them confess God's name, which is great and awesome. God is the Holy One.
O mighty King, lover of justice, you have
claim the greatness of the Lord and fall down before God's footstool. God is the Holy One.
Moses and Aaron.
You spoke to them out of the pillar of cloud. They kept your testimonies and the decree that you gave them.
O Lord our God.
Claim the greatness of the Lord and worship upon God's holy hill. For the Lord our God is the Holy One.
Glory
to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit. As it was in the beginning, reading from 2 Corinthians. Since then, we have such a hope. We act with great boldness, not like Moses, who put a veil over his face to keep the people of Israel from gazing at the end of the glory that was being set aside. But their minds were hardened. Indeed, to this very day, when they hear the reading of the Old Covenant, that same veil is still there, since only in Christ is it set aside. Indeed, to this very day, whenever Moses is read, a veil lies over their minds. But when one turns to the Lord, the veil is removed. Now the Lord is the Spirit. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And all of us, with unveiled faces, seeing the glory of the Lord as though reflected in a mirror, are being transformed into the same image from one degree of glory to another. And for this comes from the Lord, the Spirit. Therefore, since it is by God's mercy that we are engaged in this ministry, we do not lose heart. We have renounced the shameful things that one hides. We refuse to practice cunning or to falsify God's word, but by the open statement of the truth, we commend ourselves to the conscience of everyone in the sight of God. Word of God, word of life.
The Gospel according to Luke.
Glory to you,
O Lord. Now, about 8 days after these sayings, Jesus took with him Peter, James, and John and went up the mountain to pray. And while he was praying, the appearance of his face changed and his clothes became dazzling white. Suddenly, they saw two men, Moses and Elijah, talking to him. They appeared in glory and were speaking of his departure, which he was about to accomplish at Jerusalem. Now, Peter and his companions were weighed down with sleep, but since they had stayed awake, they saw his glory and the two men who stood with him. Just as they were leaving him, Peter said to Jesus, "Master, it is good for us to be here. Let us make three dwellings, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah," not knowing what he said. While he was saying this, a cloud came and overshadowed them, and they were terrified as they entered the cloud. Then from the cloud came a voice that said, "This is my son, my chosen. Listen to him." When the voice had spoken, Jesus was found alone, and they kept silent, and in those days told no one of any things that they had seen. On the next day, when they had come down from the mountain, a great crowd met him. Just then, a man from the crowd shouted, "Teacher, I beg you to look at my son. He is my only child." Suddenly, a spirit seizes him, and all of a sudden, he shrieks. It convulses him until he foams at the mouth. It mauls him and will scarcely leave him. "I begged your disciples to cast it out, but they could not." Jesus answered, "You faithless and perverse generation, how much longer must I be with you and bear with you? Bring your son here." While he was coming, the demon dashed him to the ground in convulsions. But Jesus rebuked the unclean spirit, healed the boy, and gave him back to his father. And all were astounded at the greatness of God. The Gospel of the Lord. Is dramatically set on a mountain peak with bright, blinding light. I grew up in South Dakota, the home of the holy hills called Pahasapa, the Black Hills. Those hills are considered to be holy by the Native American people who lived there long before Christianity was brought to this nation by the European immigrants. One peak in particular, Bear Butte, is the holiest spot. Still today, Lakota people go there for vision quests or to climb the mountain simply to sit and pray. It's called a memory place, a listening place. This is where one goes to listen to God. The ancient peoples in Palestine and Israel, a land of mountains and deserts and very interesting light, had the same sense of place and geography. There are many holy places, holy ground places, listening places in Israel. The Hebrew people, like the Native Americans, understood mountains to be these holy places. The sacred story of their people is enshrined in the mountaintops where the high heavens and the flat earth intersect. Our first reading from the book of Exodus, we heard that Moses entered that very presence of God on the top of Mount Sinai and received those stone tablets of the covenant. And when he came down the mountain, he had to cover his face so that the people would not be afraid of the brightness of his face. Centuries after that, Jesus took his three closest friends up the mountain, up Mount Tabor, and they were led into a sacred history of their faith. Jesus showed them how to listen to their Creator in this listening spot, in this holy land, how to draw strength from a shared memory of God's presence in their lives. Peter, James, and John had a glimpse at the face of God on that mountain. In the pure, clear light of the mountain's peak, on that holy hill, on that listening site, their eyes were opened to see that sacred light, the bright light that shone like the sun from Jesus' face and his clothes. The light poured out from within, and its shining rays illuminated the hearts and the minds and the souls of Peter and James and John. High on that mountaintop in the Holy Land, on that peak of Mount Tabor, the light of Jesus transfigured was strong and bright enough to open the eyes of those three tired disciples, and they saw that Jesus was indeed the Messiah. They heard the voice of God, their Creator, command them to listen to Jesus, the chosen Messiah of God. But the bright light and the commanding voice of God did not produce faith. It produced fear in these disciples, fear and confusion. But the event that happened immediately after that confusing event of the Transfiguration shows us the compassion and the tenderness of Jesus. After that great theophany, the appearance of God on that mountaintop, Jesus is moved by empathy, and he listens to a father's concern, to a father's love for his son. Jesus heals the boy who was caught in the grip of evil. The last line of our text today, all were astounded at the greatness of God. That line holds so much truth. If we pay attention to God's voice, God said, listen to him. If we pay attention to God's voice and to his compassion, Jesus healed that boy and gave him back to his father. We too, listening and learning compassion, we too are astounded. And we do need to be astounded today. We need this healing, this life-giving, transforming touch from Jesus. We need this divine touch, not only for ourselves, but for our world. This is the amazing truth of the gospel. We not only seek the bright, shiny, glorious, healed, whole, and transformed as God's people, but we are called to be people who offer that vision, that healing and wholeness and transformation. We are called to offer that to the world. It's for us, the baptized people of God, to offer healing and a life-giving touch to a scared and worried world, to the anxious and hurting people with whom we come in contact every day. Like Jesus, tenderly reassuring the disciples, like Jesus reaching out in compassion to those caught in the grip of evil, today that is our job to reassure and to comfort, to forgive and to confront evil. In baptism, we are given the light and the healing gift. We have that power within us, that power that Jesus shares with us. We have the power of God's healing touch, God's bright light that shines through us and in us. We can see the holy light of God's presence and love in the sacraments, on the mountaintop of baptism and Eucharist, and we carry that down to the flatlands of our daily lives, even into the valley of the shadow of death. The light of Christ shines in each of us. The light that casts out fear and shatters the darkness. The light that is present even in the darkest and most fearsome times in our lives. We too have to come down from the mountaintop to the demon-possessed reality of daily life. We do live in dark times. We have crosses to bear, pains to endure, crises to face. As we move into Lent this week, our crosses and Christ's cross will take more of our attention. We do have crosses to carry, but we do not carry them by our own strength. We do have crises to face, but we do not face them simply with our own power. We do walk in darkness, but we do not walk blindly. We are the baptized, the precious children of God, and in faith we see Christ's glory, and his strength becomes our strength. We walk in the light of Christ, and his light illumines our way. We are right here in a holy place, a listening place, the font, the table, the holy word, the community of faith gathered here. This is a holy place where we are invited to listen to the voice of God, to know the compassion of Jesus, to receive that compassion, and to be astounded at the greatness of God, and then to share that good news with the world. Amen.